Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I want to play. I want to play. I want to be on the field. You know, I tried to do as much as I could to make that possible and create a situation where we were both comfortable. But, you know, I think, you know, most of those discussions went on, you know, with my agent and with Joe. And, yeah, you know, I want to play. I want to be on the field. But it's an unfortunate business side of the game.
That was Daniel Jones. And, Zach, you saw something pretty interesting heading into this segment literally 45 seconds ago.
Yeah, so we were talking a little bit about there of him playing scout team safety and kind of is essentially like, why?
Yes.
What's he doing? I mean, they have the injury settlement.
Why are they doing this to him?
Yeah, Mike Garafolo of NFL Network, he tweeted this out saying, context on Daniel Jones serving as the scout team safety the other day. He volunteered, sources say. The Giants needed bodies on defense for the walkthrough. He went out there on his own trying to help out. Every indication I've gotten, this is from Garafolo again, is he handled this week with class.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's what I was saying about his prepared words as well, is I think he has handled this week and really kind of the I would almost say everything really well.
Yes.
Really, really well.
And it's good to see.
Because, I mean, he had to go through some hell the moment he got drafted by the Giants. Really, the moment he got drafted. And it ultimately didn't work out. People were right. But he handled it well. And that's where I do hope he has a somewhat successful career down the line.
Hey, do you know we're also jumping on this trend with Blue Sky too?
Oh, giddy up.
Yeah, we can go ahead and the station probably will be eventually as well, but you and I both have.
Yeah.
So if you're also on there and you want to see us posting stuff there, mine is just, it's at Derek Kramer. I got there first.
There you go.
I got there first. I don't have a number or anything.
Yeah,
I'm good.
At Zach Jones Sports, so it worked out.
Yeah.
Are we just going to go with posts?
Yeah, they're posts.
Because even Twitter now has changed his name, but everyone says it's a tweets.
I still call it that.
Yeah, it's going to be tweets forever.
Yeah, I'm still going to be on Twitter, mostly because, I mean, it's at this point, it's a habit that's never going to die for me, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But I am still going to call it Twitter, though. So I will rebel in that way. Try me, Elon.
Yeah.
You're rude.
Want to get some phone calls here?
Yeah, let's get some phone calls, and we'll get connected with our fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We'll go to Ryan in Toronto. Ryan, how you doing today? Good afternoon.
Zach, Derek, love the show. Happy Friday, boys.
Happy Friday.
Thank you, man. Happy Friday to you.
First of all, Zach, my man, pleasure talking to you on the other side of the glass, my man. So I want to talk about the Jets and maybe Danny Jones win the Jets. How do you guys feel about this scenario? Jets going after Sam Darnold and trading away Aaron Rodgers to the Minnesota Vikings. I know that's probably the same thing. He came from Green Bay to Jets, and then he went to the Vikings. I could see the same thing happening with Aaron Rodgers. Your thoughts?
Ryan, I appreciate the call.
I love, 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 and I never will not, the idea of Darnold walking back in kind of
all the power.
Like the Thanos moment in the MCU of like, what have you done and what did it do? It brought you back to me.
Yes.
Deeply love that.
Here
because
for
it would
that.
Just be funny. It makes no sense for the Vikings. The
Brett Favre arc cannot happen here.
Yeah, it cannot happen. The Vikings are in actually a really good spot compared to when they got Favre. They were desperate for a quarterback play. Ultimately, it worked too. Favre ultimately had years left to play. His biggest problem with the Jets is he got hurt and then kept trying to play.
Yep.
They were 8-3 when he got hurt and then the season kind of fell away. They were a really, really good football team with Favre to start. The Jets have been the exact opposite. Rodgers doesn't look like he has almost anything left in the tank. And then for the Vikings, I can't see them. The biggest thing here for a backup quarterback, they cannot be too loud. Cam Newton, on his own podcast, I am blanking on the name, Derek.
Fourth and One. It's a great podcast, by the way.
Yeah, we both love it, but he has openly said, like, he knows why his career ended. You cannot be that loud of a backup quarterback. You can't. The starter has to be the face, not the backup. Aaron Rodgers.
Which is why, effectively, like, Tim Tebow as a quarterback died.
But yeah, perfect example. Tim Tebow never really could play, but he was a lout, and not to his own. It was not his fault. Mm-hmm. It was whenever Tim Tebow did anything, the media jumped on it. Why? He was popular in college / also hated.
Another name on this one, Colin Kaepernick.
Colin Kaepernick, absolutely. Like, sadly.
Teams were terrified of that idea because a backup quarterback would be loud. And it was, I for one, will still say, you know, I'm proud of what he was doing.
Yeah, but, don't get me wrong.
But that's
I'm not
cost
exonerating.
You your career.
Yeah, I'm not exonerating all owners. No. But that played into it. And
but like that's why you see it happening mm-hmm. with like notable names not becoming backup quarterbacks is because they're too loud.
Yeah, and
Aaron Rodgers is going to fade into obscurity here because of what he's doing.
And I think the other big thing too, and why teams, I think especially wouldn't do it, especially even trading, like Ryan was bringing up there too, he won't do it gracefully.
No.
Like in where was
he'll jump up, on Pat McAfee and just like. Like poop on the entire organization.
I still think I can start. I still think I can do this, that, and everything. And if J.J. McCarthy, because that's likely what the Vikings are going to do.
Yes.
Sam Darnold's on a one-year deal. He's likely going to hit free agency, go get a big
payday.
And
they know he's going to get payday.
And J.J. McCarthy, they've been able to sit here. Hopefully he's healthy. I mean, he had a second knee operation. Doesn't sound like it affected his long-term recovery. But the hope was that he sat here, learned the offense, grew up a little bit. He's young. He's 21 years old coming as a quarterback.
Yes.
Even after his junior year, he was young starting in Michigan. The hope is then he absorbed enough, he's going to come in and start. If he struggles, though, to begin the year next year or what have you, and all of a sudden Rodgers is back at quarterback.
Good luck.
Good luck. And the Vikings, I think, are too smart. They're really, really well run.
The last
I love
thing
everything
any team
there.
Wants is their backup quarterback jumping on Pat McAfee every week.
Yeah. It's
no thank you.
And that, for me, is actually where I know it's an old saying, and it means something different, but when you have two quarterbacks, you have none.
Yes.
That's more my biggest thing. If you have any kind of quarterback competition in terms of like the QB is causing maybe a split down the locker room, what have you, you've got a problem.
You got a problem.
And that's where, for me, the two QBs equals none. No quarterback is going to come into the Bills locker room and all of a sudden have guys go, you know,
hey,
maybe he's better than Josh. But early on in his career, when there was talk of maybe Cam Newton being the Bills backup quarterback, I know Bulldog was against it. I was against
it.
This year's Cleveland Browns. Jameis Winston.
Because Deshaun Watson was cheeks.
And Jameis Winston had a lot of fun tape. You knew he wasn't going to be great, but he's probably going to be better than this. And he was a really good... I mean, it doesn't necessarily always have to be a negative connotation. We're using a lot of the negative, you know, examples here. But I think Winston's a positive one where it's just, yeah, but the locker room loved him. And yes. He is still a solid quarterback. He's not terrible.
Oddly enough, the Atlanta Falcons are kind of pushing away from that. Two QBs thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like they drafted Penix, but Cousins has been fine.
Yeah.
He's been good enough at least for them to be in first place in the mm-hmm. NFC South.
Yeah.
But it still doesn't mean that it's a good mix.
No. They need to figure that out.
They need
quickly.
To figure that out. So there it is. So thank you though, Ryan. Appreciate the call. Go to Noah out in Maine. Noah, good afternoon. How you doing?
Well, it's great to hear from you.
Good to hear from you. Let's see what you got.
Yeah, so I had a general point, and then I had a more specific one about the Bills. My general point is, last night watching that game with the snow, I mean, I felt like Jameis. I had so much gratitude watching that game. Just probably my favorite game of the year to watch that wasn't a Bills game. Snow football is just awesome. So that needed to be said at some point here. My point about the Bills, I mean, last night, I feel like my favorite part about that game was I think we just had kind of front row seats to what the Bills offense was last year. I mean, you had Dorsey calling the plays for Jameis. And I'll tell you what, guys, I mean, watching every Bills game this year and then watching how Dorsey sort of rolled out the offense yesterday. I mean, the difference between Brady and Dorsey is so stark. And I will say, you know, the Browns did have success yesterday, even with Dorsey calling the plays, and I think you could even make the case that Jameis and Dorsey are kind of a match made in heaven, just the way Dorsey kind of operates the offense. But my main point is this. I mean, I'm watching Dorsey call these plays, and there's just very little, and I think this was an issue last year with Dorsey. I mean, there's just very little sequencing of the plays going on besides the singular play that's being called. What I mean by that is, you know, you see Joe Brady mix things up, and I know fans were annoyed at how much we ran the ball into sort of brick walls against the Chiefs on Sunday. But, you know, there's more of a game plan, and there's more of a, hey, we're good at this, and we're going to you know, sequence it up and mix it up a little more. And, you know, we want to run the ball and we're not going to shy away from it. Where if you watch last night with Dorsey, I mean, I just thought there was really no game plan in that game except, hey, Jameis, why don't we hit you with three straight play action passes, which is great. You know, I love hammering the pass button. I think Dorsey does too. That's what he did a lot last year. But I just think the difference between the coordinators is so stark. And listen, it worked out for Jameis. I mean, you know, we had that pick and then the illegal touching, which I think was a little, that was a questionable call in my opinion. So you can see the downside of what Dorsey brings to the table. But I mean, man, Joe Brady, like there's just more of a, it feels more of a real offense with Joe Brady compared to what I saw with Dorsey last night. And I think what you'll continue to see with Dorsey, I mean, he's telling Jameis to throw, which is awesome. Like, it's great TV, but as a football team, I mean, come on, like, let's give the ball to Nick Chubb a little more. That guy was running wild last night. You know, I know his yards per carry don't back it up, but that's kind of my point, fellas. I'd love to hear what you have to say about that. Thanks.
Noah, I appreciate that. And two things. One, thank you for vindicating every ounce of salt that I had about Kenneth Dorsey last year. Yeah, when I was continuing to call him by a full name basis, that's how annoyed I was getting with Dorsey until he eventually got canned. I got to a point where I could not stand Dorsey last year, and he was Kenneth. He was not Ken. He was not Kenuff. He was Kenneth. Like, that was it. Like, I'd had my fill of Kenneth Dorsey last year. Mm-hmm. And now, like, Cleveland fans have been saying effectively the same thing.
Especially once Kevin Stefanski gave up the play calling duties. That was a big thing, yes, to start the year as well, is that Dorsey wasn't even calling the plays. He was just there.
But secondly, it also tells you just how awful Deshaun Watson was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stefanski kind of wanted to wipe his hands clean of this and say, this ain't my fault.
This ain't me, guys. Come
this
on.
Ain't me. And then Watson goes out with injury while Dorsey's calling the plays. Mm-hmm. But it's still Stefanski being able to go, hey, none of this is my fault.
Yeah.
I've had to start Deshaun Watson, the worst quarterback in the National Football League, who's also, by the way, a terrible person.
Yes. I will push back on one thing with Noah, though, because I agreed with basically everything else. It is the Nick Chubb point. I love him. There is a certain point where it was not working.
He was
averaging
perfect,
3 yards per carry.
He was perfect for that game, though.
That game, yes.
Of the snow, the tough conditions. You want to grind something out. Nick Chubb is your guy to do that.
Yep.
I will not argue with the points he got me in fantasy last night.
Well, the two touchdowns help.
Because I'm an idiot, and I have 4 Bills on my roster.
Ooh, that's tough.
It's dumb.
That's tough.
It's actually kind of like not smart, and also I had Jamar Chase. So like I have like no team this week.
I want to guess the players now. Allen, Cook,
mm-hmm.
Shakir.
Yep.
Did you put a flyer on Coleman?
Yeah.
Giddy up.
I'm a complete moron.
There we go.
But.
No, it's a flyer on Coleman. I get it.
But Nick Chubb, you know, kind of helped back it up.
I had the two touchdowns helped. Again, it's 3 yards per carry since, yes, he got back from injury. 3 yards per carry flat last night.
Especially his first game when Watson got hurt.
Yeah.
Nick Chubb was dreadful. After he scored a touchdown.
And to be fair, I mean, he's coming back from a gruesome injury. That's why I don't want to criticize him too much.
I do think he could use some time, like a little bit more carries, try to get into a rhythm again.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be the part of it. But thank you, Noah. I appreciate that call. And yeah, I think it's fun sometimes to be able to watch a game without any stakes to it. That said, this Sunday, nah, man. I don't need to be bothered. I don't need to be bothered with it.
But no, I mean this. But this is where I do enjoy watching football with like the very little stress aspect. Like,
yes,
I'm going to watch Patriots Dolphins with very little rooting interest either way, because it's not like I'm sitting here going, oh, I really need this game to go the Bills' way so that they're more comfortable in the AFC East chase. It's like,
yeah,
no,
there's no point.
I mean, if the Patriots win, I think maybe they'll clinch it a week earlier.
Yes,
there doesn't feel this dread of, all right, I really need something from a bad football team. Look, would it be cool?
It's because the Bills are 9-2.
Yeah, but even you go to the one seed, would it be really cool if Carolina could beat Kansas City? Sure. I don't anticipate it. And to be fair, I look at the rest of their schedule and go, they still got the Chargers. They still got the Steelers. Last night was standing. I still kind of like them as a team. They've still got, I am blanking, Denver. They've got some difficult games. Denver at home, and they had to block a field goal to win.
And if I'm Kansas City, though, I'm still not scared of any of them.
No, and I think that's absolutely correct. But for, I think, both teams, it is truly, you know, we've taken a lot of calls on it last week, going into this week,
but
too.
But then again, Chiefs fans got in their feels about actually losing a football game.
Well,
so.
Yes.
So
yes, but
I kind of understand their arrogance the big at that point.
And you know what though? This is a big point too. Coming because
they were trying.
Well, yeah, of course they didn't actually use Travis Kelce. But maybe another reason why this is not as stressful. What are the Bills doing? They're getting healthier.
Yes.
We didn't add another name after the Kansas City game going, I just hope next week when the injury reports first come out that this guy's fine.
It was also immediate dividends because Shakir and Dawkins had gone out on, like, I think it was like 2 of 3 plays.
Yeah.
So, like, you're looking at 2 key cogs and you're like, oh boy, hopefully there's nothing long term there. And they were back on that drive.
Mm-hmm. And you were kind of like,
and then
okay,
immediately, Sean McDermott says, yeah, they're both all right.
Even there was questions in the post game. I think it was about Allen's hand, and he was like, I haven't heard anything.
Yeah.
So it was like, oh, okay, cool. Never mind. We're fine.
Everything's fine.
And look, they may not get everybody healthy back, you know, for San Francisco, but it's trending that way.
And that's fun.
Yeah.
To think about, like, and that is why, by the way, you never complain about the training staff. Like, just don't do
it. It's a lot of luck. It's a ton of luck. They were very lucky.
Like anyone that complains
in
about
career,
anyone that complains about training staffs, you don't. I don't want to say flat out that you don't know ball, but it's a physical game played by human beings still, and a body can only take so much punishment before bad luck takes over, or even one wrong play happens.
It's an easy button to push. I'll
like
always
Matt
understand
Milano
it.
Matt Milano got hurt in practice.
Yeah, there's nothing much the training staff could have done there.
Like that's just bad luck.
I don't understand it. Yeah,
like that's just how it is. Is it's bad luck.
But speaking of the bad luck, especially late in the seasons, we've talked about the last 2, maybe even 3 years, they dealt with bad injuries come playoff time. They have still been one of the most dominant teams in December and January to finish out regular seasons over the last 4 or 5 years. Derek, do you know what their record is in December from 2020? So when Allen,
do I have a number of games that I can predict this record, or am I going to have to make you do some?
21.
There's 21 games here since 2020, right?
This is 2020 into finishing out last year.
For 21 games, I need to know the record of them in December and January. I'm going to say there's like 4 losses in there.
They're 19-2.
Oh my God! I was going to say 17-4, which is sick on its own.
Both those losses come in 21.
Oh, the New England and
the wind game?
The wind game and the game against the Bucks.
Yeah.
Bingo. And most Bills fans will tell you after that overtime loss to Tampa, they actually fixed themselves.
Yes, and they did. And they started playing some of their best football. Because that's what the Bills do in December and January while the regular season closes, is they are closers.
And to
like
that
if anyone's ever seen the show Suits, Harvey Specter, greatest closer, Buffalo Bills right now. When it comes to the season on its end, they are the Harvey Specter.
But to that point, too, of being closers, those 2 games they lost in 21 were to open December. They end that year, as many people do know, on a 4-game win streak.
They ended on a tear.
So it wasn't like they like picked up those losses
so you
and
also,
kind of went back and forth.
Also, those losses were a literal act of God.
Wind game.
With a wind game. And the referee is missing so many blatant PI calls that could have changed the direction of that
game.
That's
right. Yes.
Yes.
That's right. I blanked that.
Stephon Diggs got hauled down.
Mm-hmm.
And they did not throw a flag as the Bills were trying to get themselves a chance to win it. Instead, they have to go to overtime.
Yep. But they go on runs to end years. And now their next game is going to be starting December against the 49ers team, which, again, we've brought up. Brock Purdy got an MRI today on his shoulder. He's tracking to play against Green Bay. That's not something you want to see, though, if you're a 49ers fan.
No.
On like, a Friday.
Not him, too.
Yeah.
That's basically it, because like San Fran has been going through the gamut of injuries this year. The last thing I need to see as a 49ers fan, when your team is sitting at 5-5, one game back of the NFC West, but also you're clinging on to your playoff lives at this point is, oh, not him too. It is harder for them right now to get a wild card spot in the NFC than it is to win the NFC West.
Yeah.
Because Green Bay, Minnesota, and Washington exist.
Yep.
Like the NFC North being so strong this year has kind of cut the wild card out from everybody else. And
it's
Washington,
win the division or not.
Yeah, it's either you're going to win the division or you're out of the playoffs. And that's the same for the Buccaneers.
So cool.
And whoever else is clawing their way. Because who are 8, 9, and 10 in the playoff race in the NFC? L.A., Seattle, San Fran.
Man.
So.
My goodness.
And they're all sitting at 5-5. Tampa Bay is only alive because they're a couple games back, or a game and a half back, I should say, of Atlanta. That's it. The playoff picture in the NFC has been decided outside of the crowns of the South and the West.
Yep.
Like, they know what they are at this point. Like, we talked about how, like, kind of lockstep the AFC playoff picture is. No, the NFC's is basically written in pen.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yeah.
The teams that are making it, we know probably six of them, if Atlanta holds true. The only one we don't know is the winner of the West.
Yeah, that's it.
Like, in the AFC, at least I can say maybe there's some drama at the end for the seven seed.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's some sort of drama between the Colts and the Texans. But really, they're all fighting for one spot, that last wild card. And in the NFC, it's the same thing. And I'm not even saying maybe. There is one fight that has to be done, and that's the NFC West.
And we're going to have one of the better matchups this week.
But that's also disgusting, though. Circling back to the Bills' record, though, how they close. And that's the one thing that I think, like, I don't have much hope about the one seed.
Mm-hmm.
But the way they close seasons is where I'm going to be willing to listen. Because they do storm their way into the playoffs. They always come in hot.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other thing is that that's typically dangerous.
They typically do get hot at the right time. I would argue, again, I've made this point a lot. I'd argue their biggest problems have been health and poor matchups. They have not really gotten lucky in terms of the playoffs. They have a few, don't get me wrong. They've played third string quarterbacks, you know, Miami, Skylar Thompson.
Yes.
Don't get me wrong. They've also lost their middle linebacker in a wild card game.
Two of them.
Two of them. In blowout wins over Pittsburgh. They lose to Rob Bernard.
And they lose Baylen Specter that same game.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem.
That's not luck. That's awful.
It is luck. It's awful luck.
Yeah.
That is, on a metaphorical D20, you roll the one.
They come in playing hot, and then I would argue injuries, and then, yes, 13 seconds, bad coaching decisions have more burned you than anything else. And right now, this team right now, I think they have a very favorable schedule to end the year. Outside of Detroit, and even then, I'm excited for that game. I want to see how they handle them, because Detroit the last few weeks has had the bonus of we get ahead early and we can just lean on you with our two-headed monster at running back.
Yes. And if the Bills can dictate something different, you're allowed to keep it close. So yeah, it's weird to look at a playoff field that, like, considering what last year was, and the Bills came back from the brink around this time, by the way, where they stormed through December and January. And they had to. But there was also the drama within the AFC South. The Jaguars choke it away with the Texans. And the Bills go ahead and storm their way back. And the Steelers make a playoff spot. I don't know if there's any of that drama that's going to happen this year outside of fighting for literally two places in the National Football League. The NFC West and the AFC Wildcard 3.
That's so good.
It's weird.
It's good.
The drama is going to be about seeding.
Mm-hmm. But I think it's also to a point I brought up with Josh, and we brought it up yesterday as well. The top end of the AFC, arguably,
you said this yesterday with me too,
dipped.
Yeah.
But I would also say the bottom, or like the more mediocre, has risen so that there's a more – it's a more aggressive middle ground.
The thing
and that's
is
where
that
you're getting the seeding. We know the good teams. We know the teams that can make the playoffs.
I don't know if we've seen a year where the good teams are good and the bad teams are bad and they're very much equal on par with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because you look at the top of the NFL and you think, okay, the Bills, the Chiefs, I mean, those two are going to always be able to duke it out. The Steelers are winning games. The Texans have beaten the Bills. The Ravens have beaten the Bills. Oh, the Ravens also lost to the Chiefs, but they also, for some reason, lost to the Raiders. Why did that happen? But Baltimore could also run over whoever they want if they're feeling it that day. The Chargers, they slow down literally anyone and everyone. They bring your team into the mud where they like to play.
Mm-hmm.
And then the NFC, the Lions, the Eagles, the you know that they're those teams. The Vikings and Packers are trading blows. The Commanders have been in almost every game that they've had this year, if not won them. The good teams are good. And then the bad teams. How many 3-7 or 2-8 teams do we have here?
It's a lot. That's why the number one
we
pick
have five,
race is fun.
Five teams with only two wins this year in week 11. After week 11, I should say.
I do enjoy that.
And then you throw in the three-win teams, and it's you're adding, what, mm-hmm. two, three, four more. You've got nine teams with three wins or less. Like, very solidified in where the good teams are good, and there are only teams scraping out for an NFC West spot or an AFC wildcard three. This year is weird.
It's fun, though.
It's fun.
It's because it comes in.
It's a different kind of fun.
It's a different kind of fun, but it comes in when the Bills were arguably, I mean, by most accounts, in a quote-unquote transition year.
And the maximum amount of chaos that's going to be unleashed is going to be January. That's the thing. Where the fun is.
I also brought up the Pittsburgh and Minnesota, how they both were lucky teams, and what happened in the wild card round, they both lost in the playoffs.
Yes.
I'm not saying the Chiefs are going to lose, but they've been compared to those teams now for a few weeks.
And the thing about trying to get the one seed is, well, you can avoid getting that trip up, even with the Bills.
Yep.
Because no team is immune to this work
mm-hmm.
of just how good the top has been this year and how balanced the top has been. They've been definitively written in concrete, but they're all fighting with each other. The good teams are good and the bad teams are bad. And that line has never been more visible.
Mm-hmm.
803-0550, the number to call. Adam, hang in there. We'll get to you on the other side. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones, we're just two dudes live here with you up until 3 o'clock here on WGR.
Question for you with the mentality of this team, though. Do you feel like you need the one seed?
Anything to help, I would say yes. If the previous years we have not ever had the one seed, and we had the results that we had. I mean, let's see what happens when we do have a different type of outcome or with the result of having the one seed. It could change the whole dynamic of what's going to happen. Maybe we've always needed that extra break. Who knows? The Chiefs always got it, and they've always won. So, who knows?
That was the left tackle, Deion Dawkins.
Still my favorite person to hear talk on the Bills.
He's got to be one of the best personalities, though. So I got to say, if he stays here longer than these couple of years, Matt Collins might get up there. Like, I hope he's here for more than 1 year. I really do.
I do, too, because you're right. Like, he's the fun personality, and when he's in his appropriate role, he does it very, very well.
He's a great wide receiver three in a pinch.
Yeah.
But he's also very comfortable for being a wide receiver four, special teams contributor. But also, the last 3 weeks, he's been very good for them.
Oh, my gosh.
Against Indianapolis, yeah. He was great. Against Miami, he was drawing penalties and catching a touchdown.
But I think the thing, once you were able to get him in his appropriate role, good. Once he had to serve as your wide receiver two, arguably at times one, that was the issue.
That was the issue, and injuries did play a role in that. But I will also say this. I think the chemistry is there now because the target efficiency is rivaling Shakir's. Whereas that Houston game, that percentage of targets to completions with him was dreadful.
Yeah.
And like it was always rocky to start the season with those two. But now it looks like he's acclimated to Allen, and the targets that are being thrown his way, he's reeling them in. And that's the kind of production you need from any wide receiver, not just one, two, three. Like, it doesn't matter where you are on the depth chart. If you're able to bring in targets efficiently, you're going to see the football more.
We do have some news for the Sabres as well. We want to get to your calls, Adam. We'll get to you here in a second. But news on the Sabres, again, they are playing tonight at 10 o'clock against Anaheim. Tage Thompson was taking morning skate, not taking part in line rushes.
Okay.
Lance Lysowski saying this does appear he'll be out again tonight.
Yeah, that's rough.
Does make sense with the back-to-back.
It does make sense with the back-to-back.
Josh, I think, brought this up, and he was spot on, too. You wouldn't play him the first game of a back-to-back. You'd likely play the second game.
Yes, unless he was fully healthy to do so with both.
Mm-hmm.
But considering they've been bringing him along slow, that is... Because I'd watched a video, and it looked like he was taking part in line rushes, but that is not the case here.
Yeah, it sounds like it was more just it was he's drills. Skating around with everybody.
He's skating in drills, and it's got a good intensity to it. But unfortunately, yeah, I thought it was line rushes. It is not. Good thing I didn't say anything publicly about that.
Until now.
Now I'm going to admit I have egg on my face. Hey, look at the egg on my face. UPL and net tonight, though, for Sabres and Ducks. 10 o'clock tonight.
9 p.m. Yep.
9 p.m. pregame. The Steve Foley Law pregame show starting at 9 o'clock with Brian Koziel, Paul Hamilton, who's had a busy day today.
He's doing okay. He's fine.
I should jump on the mic and make them late.
He's fine.
Just come in here at like 8:30.
Hey, boys.
For no reason. Turn on a mic and be like, oh, sorry, guys. Paul stole some minutes from us.
I'm here to do the same.
I'm here for my vengeance.
Never forget.
That would be a brand of petty I don't think I could even aspire to.
Yeah, no, well, I also like the idea of then coming back. That's more for me.
Yes.
I could be petty, but taking forever to like come back.
Oh, I was about to get to our caller.
The Sabres, though.
Win tonight.
Win tonight, yes.
I feel like if you can go perfect out west.
If you can go perfect out west, but even now with the likelihood that Tage Thompson not playing.
I still would want to beat Anaheim.
It's not just that. You can be kind of impressed by what they've been able to do without him.
Yes.
With how bad the 5-on-5 numbers looked without him when the injury first happened. It was kind of like preparing for it. This would be sort of impressive. Again, it was the really, really bad start that has set them up poorly. But since... They've been very good. Everything has improved, including the penalty kill numbers.
Penalty kill was great.
The power play has scored, in 7 straight games?
Yeah, they're kind of figuring it out now.
And so the record, it's funny to kind of give them credit like this because they haven't really earned it for years. But for this year, I would say especially, their record is not really doing them justice to how they've actually performed. Have they been perfect? Absolutely not. But since the poor start, they have been picking it up. They've been getting better. They've been able to pick up win streaks. They finally have kind of put into bed as well for them, not going on winning streaks and then losing streaks. They were able to, they went back and forth, but they've been able to kind of keep picking up points. Have they had bad losses? Yeah, I've brought up Detroit. You can also throw in, of course, Montreal and Philadelphia most recently to that. But then you go to LA and you grind out a 1-0 win.
Yes, and grind out is exactly the words you need to use for that because that was how it had to be. The LA Kings were not letting you get into the front net. They were not letting you get things easy. So you had to play crash and bang on the boards, which they were more than willing to do. But the thing was that were you really even threatened at all by the Kings until like the last 5 minutes of that game? The answer is no.
Yeah.
They had 5 power plays, and they got 2 shots. That's Sabres early season power play bad.
Yeah, that's where it's like, hey, they can't even get into the zone. This is awesome to watch.
They were getting in the zone because what the Sabres like to do, and it's fun to look at, is they like to press the attack, which does make for easier entry when you're going in towards 3 skaters versus 4. It's a lot easier to get in the zone. But that said, the Sabres do like to try to attack you, press you into a bad decision, and you're not getting in there cleanly. Or you are getting in, but you're suddenly a mess. Or, better off, you create a turnover and the puck's going back down the other way.
Yep.
And that's something that the Sabres are really good at, is forcing the issue with their penalty kill when they're dialed in. And I said it yesterday, Zach Benson made a couple of really great reads on one of those penalty kills to end the second period. It was like one of his best shifts I've seen that night.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's different philosophies. The Sabres penalty kill will try to force the issue, but it does allow for easier entries. But that said, your best penalty killer has to be the goalie. And look who comes back the other night and gets a casual 1-0 shutout.
It's First shutout of the year, correct?
Yes.
Nice.
It's a good time. It is as good time as any.
And I've brought up a lot. I don't know the exact numbers, Derek. I don't know if you do too, but it's the amount of teams that if they're in a playoff spot by Thanksgiving, they make the playoffs. I've seen the number 80 thrown around. I don't think that's correct. That feels aggressive.
Which, by the way, it does make sense, but also the last time that we had said something like that, the Sabres were, by Thanksgiving, a top team when they had that 10-game win streak. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then proceeded to light everything about them on fire.
Yeah.
So this is, like how I say it about the Jets and the Chargers in the NFL, this is still ultimately a you have to prove it.
Yep.
Oh, am I excited? Absolutely. You bet I am. But you still have to prove it, ultimately, that you can do it. Are you a better team than the Boston Bruins this year? I say you are.
Oh, I think so.
Well, the numbers also back it up a little bit. Bruins can't score.
And they're also, what, minus 20 goal differential? Mm-hmm. There's a reason Jim Montgomery is fired.
Yes. And maybe they get the head coach, the new head coach bump. But you got to win your games out here against teams that you should out west.
Oh, it was close. Since 05-06, and this was last year,
mm-hmm.
Since 05-06, 76.7% of NHL teams make the playoffs if they're in a playoff spot by Thanksgiving.
That's why I say, like, it's not necessarily must win, but you got to win these games.
How is 80% close? Oh, my goodness. I thought that was aggressive. It's 4 points off.
That's not bad.
Oh, my gosh.
But that's also the nature of the business.
Yeah.
If you're playing well enough, you establish yourself enough.
Right.
And that was why the start that they had in Europe was so bad that you needed to recover from it.
And they have. And I hate this for the NHL, but for potentially just grabbing one of those wild card spots, it's a blessing in disguise that Alexander Ovechkin, who was leading the NHL in goals, is out 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah. I hate that for like record chasing.
But
that might be important here. That said, they've given themselves enough cushion that they can survive a fall.
Mm-hmm.
They're at 27 points right now. The wild card is what? 21?
Yep.
That's where the Boston Bruins hold it right now.
Also, Washington did lose last night as well in regulation 2-1 to the Avalanche.
Mm-hmm. But they gave themselves enough, I think,
room. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. There's
a cushion
points.
To fall.
Yeah, there's 27 points. The 13-5-1. I mean, they're in a good spot, but in terms of them continuing to gain ground and potentially even keep this going, Dylan Strome's been awesome. But a lot of it has been he's feeding Ovi. We'll see if he can continue that kind of on his own a little bit.
So, by the way, the Anaheim Ducks, tonight's opponent, yes, they are 7th in the Pacific. Yes, they have 18 points this year, but they have a similar record to the Buffalo Sabres.
8-8-2.
8-8-2.
And problem is, though, most of their numbers look, dreadful.
Yeah, that's
goals
the other
four,
thing.
31st in the league. Assists, obviously going along with that, 31st in the league. Their penalty kill percentage as well, 31st in the league. Their power play percentage, 27th in the league.
They're not a good team, and when they win games,
penalty minutes, they're 3rd in the league.
I'm going to say this, and it's going to make you have instant dread right now. Here's the problem. John Gibson's
3-0, a 9.06 save percentage, 2.67 goals against.
Which is nothing, you know, to clap home about, but Lucas Dostal has been very good for them.
Mm-hmm.
9.24 save percentage in 13 games. Like, he's getting a lot of work, but he's also doing a good job trying to survive. It has been their goaltending that's been getting it done. UPL needs to have himself another good night against a Ducks team. Ready? And this is something that we've had a problem with this year. You need to make sure a team that doesn't score goals very much doesn't go off on you. It happened with the Islanders. Happened with Montreal.
Yep.
You cannot let it happen a third time here tonight.
Yep. 803-0550, the number two call. One more segment here before we get you off to Show Them the Bulldog, who will carry you until 7 o'clock. You're listening to WGR.
Let's wrap things up here. Speaking of Eric Wood, I had seen that he saw your nice little stat about the Bills in December and January.
Yeah, I should throw that in there. I didn't actually put it in the tweet. It's also January as well.
Yes.
It's December, January. They've had like one game every year that rounds out the season, like January 2nd or something like that. But, I mean, for the most part, to finish out a year in the final stretch.
They're dominant.
They're dominant, specifically in the last 3 years where they have not lost a single game. One of those, yes, being the DeMar Hamlin Cincinnati game that ultimately was.
It was trending toward a loss.
It was,
Cincinnati
sure.
was playing, but.
Absolutely, but it was early enough.
It was a no contest.
It was no contest. It was abandoned, obviously, because of the incident on the field. But outside of 2021, where they lost two in a row. Derek, as you brought up too, it was the win game against New England and then overtime against Tampa Bay and the
and
the
context Bucs. Even makes it more wild, because one of those was one of the worst weather games you were going to deal with, which then helps a lower team claw its way into the game and then ultimately win it.
Mm-hmm.
And the other was, well, you're playing a guy who ended up closing out another great season in his storied career of kicking the Bills while they're down.
Yep.
By the way,
so thoughtful of him.
So thoughtful of him. Thanks, Tom. You jerk. Never. I'm glad I never have to see you on the sidelines ever again. I'm not glad though that the spiritual replacement constantly has to be dealt with every year.
Nothing can handle him though. Those games are at least fun. The Patriots games were not fun.
No, they were not.
I should not remember a single regular season game from 15 years ago.
All right. So, programming note, of course, 9 o'clock, the Steve Foley Law pregame show gets you ready for Sabres and Ducks, 10 o'clock tonight. I'm back here tomorrow with a sports talk Saturday. Myself and Joe Cali will be grabbing things and getting you through your weekend here. And then we're not here on Sunday. It's actually kind of cool. It's actually pretty nice to have the day off there. And I hope you all enjoy your Bills game, or Bills bye week, I should say. Enjoy it. Relax comfortably, responsibly, and entertainingly. Schopen Bulldog coming up next.